Thranduil, the elven king in The Hobbit, Legolas's father, is a bit of an enigma. Sometimes an antagonist, sometimes lined up alongside our heroes, but who was he, and what made him so ambiguous a character? Let's take a look. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we dive deep into Tolkien's legendarium, as well as the world of A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. Welcome. Tolkien doesn't tell us exactly when or where Thranduil was born, although the consensus opinion among academics is that it was likely to be in the First Age, in Doriath, making him over 6,000 years old by the time of The Lord of the Rings. Doriath is certainly where his father Orofer lived at the time, and Doriath at the time was a wonderful place, though doomed to tragedy. The king there, Thingol, and his wife Melian the Maia ruled over a prosperous, protected realm. Its capital, Menegroth, had been carved from the rock by dwarves, and Tolkien described it in the Silmarillion as the fairest dwelling of any king that ever lived east of the sea. So pretty idyllic. But tragedy struck. First, the dwarves there, overcome with lust for the Nauglamir, a necklace they had crafted set with the Silmaril, killed King Thingol so they could keep it. Then later, the Sons of Feanor attacked as well. When Morgoth's forces washed across the continent, Doriath was already fallen. Orofer, Thranduil's father, was one of those to escape. He made his way, eventually, with Thranduil, far eastwards to Greenwood the Great, where he, despite being a Sindarin elf, was welcomed as ruler by the Sylvan elves there. We're told that the scattered Sylvan folk there became ordered and increased in wisdom under Orofer's rule, though they retained their woodland and therefore more rustic approach to life, compared to the more rarefied Sindar and Noldor. At least, that's how the latter would probably see it. Thranduil grew up as prince and heir, merging his people with the Sylvan to the extent that Legolas, his son, proudly describes himself as both Sindarin and Sylvan. Perhaps Thranduil had even married a Sylvan elf. Tolkien doesn't tell us. She is absent or dead by the time of the stories we read. The Second Age, of course, was the age of confrontation with Sauron, and an important moment for Thranduil. During the last alliance of elves and men, towards the end of that age, Orofer led a force from Greenwood south to Mordor to join the assault. We're told that Orofer, perhaps betraying an arrogant nature, charged forward with his lightly armed forces before Gil-galad the general had given the order to advance. The result was a massacre. Orofer was killed, as were many of his new countrymen. Eventually, the battle overall was won, Sauron defeated, the ring cut from his finger and so on, though the elves of Greenwood the Great are notably absent from descriptions of that final confrontation. Three quarters of those who had marched south from the Greenwood never came back. Thranduil returned chastened to Greenwood the Great, and in mourning for his father and the many elves who had lost their lives. He was now king of the Woodland Realm, but we hear very little from him through the Third Age. He appears not to engage much in wider politics. The human kingdoms of Arnor and Gondor rise and fall. Galadriel and Celeborn take over in Lothlorien. Rohan is formed, and Thranduil keeps to himself. Around the year 1000 of the Third Age, a mysterious figure emerged in southern Greenwood, the Necromancer. The shadow started to grow, and Thranduil and the elves in his realm, we read, retreated before it as it spread ever northward, until at last Thranduil established his realm in the northeast of the forest and delved there a fortress and great halls underground. In other words, Thranduil gave up the greater part of his forest kingdom to evil without ever really confronting it. Eventually, the shadow became so great that Greenwood the Great stopped being called Greenwood, instead becoming known as Mirkwood. Thranduil retreated to the far northeast corner of the forest, digging a cave fortress, apparently in an attempt to echo Menigroth, that land of his youth, though it was nowhere near as fine. And what was he doing with his time while darkness overtook his kingdom? Feasting and enjoying life, and evidently not thinking about the giant spiders and lurking shadows lapping over his homeland. That's what we find him doing in The Hobbit. Feasting. He has even struck up a trading relationship with the men of Lake Town and beyond so he can access the luxuries that he can't produce in his woodland and cave kingdom. Wine and butter, for example. It's as if he is in denial and just wants to enjoy the good life and forget about any threats. If we read The Hobbit through this lens, It's very noticeable that Gandalf doesn't even suggest to the dwarves that they try to get help from Thranduil in Mirkwood. By this point, Gandalf had sought hospitality from Elrond, the Eagles, and even Beorn, a very inhospitable character, but he draws the line at Thranduil. He tells the dwarves to stay on the road no matter what. They shouldn't bother trying to deal with the Elven King. To be honest, it's hard to think kindly of Thranduil's dealings with the dwarves. They stumble, lost and starving, into a glade where he is literally feasting, and he not only refuses to give them a few scraps of food and point them back to the path, but actively tries to ghost them and leave them to their fate. When that doesn't work, he captures them and basically sentences them to life imprisonment. Then he loses his prisoners. To be fair, he can't have known that there was a hobbit with the One Ring and a whole dollop of ingenuity trying to free them, but still, he comes across as cruel and not particularly effective at ruling his realm. We next hear from him when he hears why the dwarves were travelling that way, to reclaim their homeland. He proclaims that no treasure will come back through Mirkwood without his having a say in it. And when he gets the news that Smaug is dead, he sets off immediately with an army to try to take as much of the treasure as he can. Greed is rarely a good look in Tolkien's world. When there, Thranduil does do a bit better, accepting that he can't just take the treasure when the dwarves turn out to still be alive, falling behind Bard's reasonable claim to a share, and working for peace until a battle against the goblins and wolves becomes unavoidable. But the bit of this story that goes unsaid is Gandalf's unwillingness to engage with Thranduil about the even bigger issue facing Thranduil's own realm at that time. Gandalf had discovered that the necromancer who had taken over most of Thranduil's kingdom was in fact Sauron. This is obviously pretty huge news, and was the pressingly important thing that Gandalf was heading off to deal with while the party of dwarves was passing through Mirkwood in the north. Gandalf and the rest of the White Council, including Thranduil's near-neighbour Galadriel, attacked Dol Guldur in the south of Mirkwood. It seems that at no point did Gandalf even mention this to Thranduil, despite it happening in his own forest. Didn't he trust him? It appears not. The next time Thranduil appears in our story, it is just before the Lord of the Rings. Gandalf and Aragorn had spent years hunting for Gollum, trying to discover the missing pieces in the story of how the One Ring could possibly end up in the possession of a hobbit in the Shire. They caught Gollum, and Aragorn needed somewhere to leave him, where he could stay out of trouble. He left him with Thranduil. And not long after that, Gollum escaped. There is, of course, a hint of serendipitous good fortune about this. It was why Legolas was in Rivendell and could join the Fellowship. He was there to report the missing prisoner to Elrond. And Gollum being free was actually a good thing in the end. Without him, the ring would not have been destroyed. But still, it's clear that Thranduil really isn't very good at keeping prisoners. Towards the end of the war, however, Thranduil did come good. His forces fought the orcs in the epic battle under the trees, and after Sauron's defeat, he led his forces to the south, clearing the forest of the remnants of evil, meeting Celeborn halfway. He accepted a deal that Celeborn should rule the southern half of the forest that Thranduil had abandoned centuries earlier, and the middle part was granted to the Beornings and Woodmen. And after that, we don't know. Presumably he ruled his realm for a time, but whether he stayed and faded with the elves in the Fourth Age or sailed west like his son Legolas, we are not told. Did he ever get the sea longing? So what are we to make of Thranduil? On the face of it, he doesn't come across well. Sauron reappeared in his forest kingdom, and he not only didn't realise, but retreated in the face of the growing shadow without confronting it. In dealing with the dwarves, he showed a huge lack of basic care and hospitality, to say the least, by first leaving them to stumble lost and starving in the dark at the mercy of the giant spiders, then imprisoning them. He greedily charged off to get the dwarves' treasure, even though he had no claim to it himself, and twice lost important prisoners in his charge. And to damn him further, Gandalf very obviously didn't trust him with any of his plans. But I wonder whether we can dig a little deeper here. Why did Thranduil so often shy away from confrontation with Sauron? Why was he so suspicious of dwarves? Why was he so intent on getting wealth? I think, as is so often the case, Tolkien gave us the answers, though we do have to dig a little to get to them. The eagerness to get the dwarves' gold is probably the easiest to answer. During the Third Age, the woodland realm diminished hugely in size. We're told that, although the Sindarin elves who ruled the land brought with them great wisdom and order, the Sylvan elves there were simple, rustic folk. This wasn't an insult in Tolkien's mind, the hobbits were similar, but it meant that in modern parlance their economic output wasn't great, and Thranduil had expensive tastes. Those feasts wouldn't pay for themselves, and wine and butter weren't easily produced in a woodland and cave kingdom. He needed money for imports to keep his lavish lifestyle going. As for the dwarves, there appears to be a history here. Remember how Thranduil's idyllic childhood had been ended by dwarves killing King Thingol? His father Orifer moved to Greenwood, at least in part, to keep away from the influence of the dwarves of Khazad-dûm. No matter that these were different dwarves from a completely different tribe who had no intention of harming their hosts, Tolkien is giving us heavy hints here that Thranduil is still reacting to a childhood trauma. It doesn't excuse his actions, but perhaps it explains them. And perhaps it is to his credit that it is his son Legolas who does more to smooth dwarf-elf relations than anyone else through his friendship with Gimli, the son of one of those Thranduil had imprisoned. But the biggest driver of Thranduil's actions seems to be the death of his father and his experience during the last alliance of elves and men. Tolkien was always very firm that The Lord of the Rings was not an analogy, and not a result of his own war experiences, and that is surely true, but no writer can ever completely distance their creation from their own experiences. Many men understandably returned from that First World War in our world with severe shell shock, or what we might today call post-traumatic stress, not ever wanting to go near war again, or even think about it. Just, in the absence perhaps of therapy, wanting to avoid anything to do with their experience. Tolkien was one of those who didn't want to talk about his war experiences. He certainly understood, at a deep level, what Thranduil had gone through in his created world. So he wrote this about Thranduil returning from that war. There was in Thranduil's heart still a deeper shadow. He had seen the horror of Mordor and could not forget it. If ever he looked south, its memory dimmed the light of the sun, and though he knew that it was now broken and deserted and under the vigilance of the kings of men, fear spoke in his heart that it was not conquered forever. It would arise again. This should completely transform our understanding of Thranduil. He had experienced great trauma and lived daily in fear that it would return. Even looking to the south brought the fear crashing in. So what did he do when a shadow started to rise in the south of his kingdom? He could not face it, so he retreated. He feasted and ignored it. I think Tolkien would want us to be gentle on him for that. Tolkien, like so many in his generation, had faced great horrors himself and understood what they could do to someone. And we should not forget that in the end Thranduil did come good. When his back was to the wall, he did fight against the forces of evil. He isn't a classic hero, perhaps, falling short many times, but eventually he faced his demons and defeated them. And for that, we should applaud him. If you'd like to see more videos about Tolkien's world of The Lord of the Rings, please click on the link to the playlist on the left of your screen. Or to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.